Hello, I'm Bruce Maples, publisher of Forward Kentucky, and today we have a new candidate that we are going to be talking with. Before we begin, I want to remind you that you can become a member of Forward Kentucky by going to forwardky.com/join. We have free memberships, we have paid memberships with more perks, so those are things you might want to consider, and we'd love to have you become part of the Forward Kentucky family. So today we are talking with Vicki Quisenberry, who is running for state senate. Vicki, welcome to Moving Kentucky Forward.
I'm delighted to be here.
We're glad to have you. I'm very fascinated by the fact that I believe I was told that you did a lot of work recruiting candidates. Is that correct?
I think your rumors are true.
Well, tell me more about that. And you might speak up just a little bit.
Okay. Well, basically about 2 years ago, there were a couple of folks in my conference room. I have a commercial office complex with a conference room that sometimes I allow people to use. And they were talking about recruiting candidates. And I said, well, when do you need people? And they said, oh, January, and this was just a few weeks away. And I said, well, I can't do anything about that, but I'd be glad to see what I can do for the next election cycle. So I think one of the main concerns that we have, not only here in our area, but throughout the state of Kentucky, is that people don't have choices. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're hearing everywhere, is that we just want a choice. Not necessarily perfect candidates, but we want a choice. So that's kind of what we worked with over a couple of years.
Okay. And so what caused you to go from recruiting other people to run to deciding, okay, I'm going to run?
Well, that's an interesting story. So one of the things that I did when I was recruiting candidates to run is reach out to people. Some of them I knew well, some of them I had just met. What I was finding is that there were a lot of people who were not real happy about the 2024 election results, and they just need to do something. And so I started getting these groups of people together, and we went through several exercises. What qualities do you look for in candidates? Mm-hmm. And then the next exercise was, who do you know in our community that has these qualities that you would vote for? Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, the first time we went through that exercise, the folks in the room made me put my name on the list. And I was like, no, I'll find somebody that'll run for this. And so there was one spot that was going to be open and not giving people a choice. And the folks in the room, you know, we put together the qualities and qualifications and things that people would vote for. And they said, you fit the bill. So it wasn't anything I went looking for. I would have no intention of running for office until I realized that, you know what, they're right. And if I don't do it, who will?
Right. So let's wrap up the discussion about recruiting other people, because I want to get to your campaign.
Oh, okay.
How many other people did you successfully recruit to run for anything?
We looked at, we kind of, prioritized our thoughts. Mm-hmm. We didn't have anybody running for state office in the last election. So that was a priority. And we had, three House reps here in 7, 13, and 14 that represent people in Davis County. Now 14 reaches out also to Ohio and Hancock County as well.
Right.
And then the state Senate office, which is Davis, Hancock, and McLean County.
Okay.
So we definitely wanted somebody to fill all those seats. We were also getting a lot of people who wanted a choice in their county and city government. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was kind of our first priority, rather than, you know, worrying about some of the other offices.
Right.
You know, it's interesting to me. I always wondered why, from our county judge on down, why is that partisan?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really shouldn't be. You should be able to vote for whoever will do the best job. And you talk to people who are in some of these county positions and why is my race partisan? It shouldn't be. But anyway, so what we tried to do when we recruited candidates is look for people who fit these criteria.
Okay.
And so, you know, I'm pleased that we were able to give people a choice in all four state races. We have people running in two of our county seats. We had somebody running in a third seat and he has dropped out. Rumor mm-hmm. has it there's a write-in candidate that's going to be
all right
on the ballot. So there again, you know, we are hoping to give people choices.
So did your local Democratic Party help you with this work, or was this something you pretty much did on your own?
I kind of did it on behalf of the local Democratic Party. I really, I wasn't a part of it other than I let them, they leased space from us. And I became interested in what they were doing. And then now all of a sudden I'm on the executive committee and I'm running for office. Be careful.
Wow. Yeah.
Be careful who you make friends with.
No, that's exactly right. So, okay. So who are you running against?
I'm running against the current incumbent, who is Gary Boswell.
Okay. And Mr. Boswell's been in the state Senate for how long?
He's been in there for one term. There again, 4 years ago, nobody from the Republican Party or the Democratic Party ran against him. So he filed his papers and became our senator.
Yep. Yep. So how is your campaign going? I have run for office. I know that the first time you do it, it is such an experience. So how's it going for you?
Oh, Bruce, I feel like I'm, guzzling from the fire hose.
Yes.
There is just so much to it. And, of course, my husband and I have a small business that we run that needs our attention. I've got a mother in assisted living. I've got four grandchildren. One of them lives overseas. I've got one of my grandchildren is special needs. So, I have a lot of outside forces that take up a lot of time in addition to running for office. But I think the most surprising thing for me has been the bipartisan support I've gotten.
Hmm.
And you and I had that discussion when I ran into you in Rough River. It's that to me has just been, I guess, kind of empowering to know that I've had libertarians say they're going to vote for me, and I've had Republicans say they're going to vote for me, and independents say they're going to vote for me.
Wow.
I think that helps build into my bipartisanship. Mm-hmm. With all of my nonprofit work, I have never asked anybody what their political party is, because I really don't care. Mm-hmm. When you set up nonprofit boards and that kind of thing, you look for people with certain skill sets.
Right.
And people with certain connections. And that to me is what a legislator needs to do.
Yep.
This divisiveness, the more people I talk to, the more people who are just totally discouraged with all the divisiveness. And we've got to start electing people who are willing to work together.
So you are running, it's a fairly local race, if I remember the district correctly. It's not spread out over, five counties like some of them are. Have you been able to get out and actually do door knocking and so on and so forth?
I have not done that yet. What I have found to be very beneficial in this race is to work with people who invite me into their home, and they invite their friends in. I call them meet and greets.
Yep.
I've got one that we're scheduling next week for McLean County and one of the coffee shops. But what I found is that people are a lot more willing to go to a friend's home and hear a candidate speak. And we will do door knocking as we get closer to the election. The county is going to do a countywide door knocking in August, and we're hopefully going to have a lot of people who signed up to volunteer here.
Sure.
I also purchased a community partnership to help support Friday After Five, which is a music festival we have in the summer here down on the river. It's amazing how many people from McLean and Hancock County I've met down at Friday After Five. Also a lot of people from Indiana, but you know, we're glad they're here.
Right.
So, you know, I've just tried to go to the county fairs, anywhere, you know, habitat ribbon cuttings, nonprofit fundraisers and that kind of thing, just where I can see people, Chamber of Commerce events, where I can meet people and talk with them and that kind of thing. And of course, you know, as we get closer to the election, there will be forums that are done and, you know, more people will hear about what's going on.
So when you go to these things, do you wear like a t-shirt that says Vicky for Senate or something like that?
Oh, of course I do. It's got a big bullseye on the front of it.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Vicky Quisenberry for State Senate. And then I've also got one that's a little bit more professional with a, you know, a color and a little logo on the side of it.
Yep.
And there again, it's amazing to me that the number of people who have gone out and purchased campaign t-shirts and wear them places.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
So without getting into amount, which I don't want to know, how is your fundraising going?
Of course, you never have as much money as what you want.
Sure.
But in the first reporting period, I had 9 pages of donors.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's been good in that I have a large number of donors. I found it interesting that the legislature increased the donor amounts.
Yes.
You know, because it's awfully difficult to find people who want to donate $2,200, much less $3,500.
Right.
So Bruce, if you know people who want to donate to a viable candidate, by all means, share, share my information with them. So, you know, that to me has been the biggest challenge throughout all my nonprofit work. I've never had a problem asking for money for kids. But to ask for my own campaign, I struggle with that.
Yeah. And I absolutely relate. When I ran, it was hard. It was very hard for me at first. And I had, you know, a fellow political person who basically said, get over it. You know,
yeah, that's what my campaign advisor is telling me. You got to call people and ask them for money.
If you believe that you're a good candidate, if you believe you can bring something to the table, then you're asking for something good. So go to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got to change my mindset. This isn't about me. This is about the mission.
Yeah. Do you have campaign staff? Do you have like a director or a scheduler or any of that?
I have a campaign manager. I have a treasurer. I have a volunteer coordinator.
Even better.
I have several people who like looking up stuff for me.
Excellent.
I have somebody who's working on my vote builder to try to cut our turfs and that kind of thing, so we can be very effective in where we go. And so, you know, I've got probably a list of maybe 30 or 40 people who volunteered.
Wow.
So it's been interesting to me. Now, the first few Friday After Fives we went to, we didn't take photos of our volunteers. And you know, oh, we should have done that.
Right.
But you can go back in and just look at the Friday After Five groups that we've had, just different people coming in and volunteering, just to meet folks and talk about the campaign there. You know, people who show up at the county fairs and that kind of thing. So, it's always inspiring to know that people support you.
So he was unopposed in the last election. So you don't really have a read on what the turnout could look like or anything like that. Do you have any sort of sense about the excitement around your campaign? Do you have any sort of sense of your chances? I mean, obviously you're going to say, oh, of course we're going to win, but there's, you know, there's races where you go, well, it could be tough. And then there's races where you go, oh no, it's, it's pretty even. I think we got a shot here. So what would you say to somebody who said, well, what's your chances? What are you thinking?
Okay, well, Bruce, I'm kind of a data nerd. So one of the first things I did is go to look at the last race. And what I found most interesting, just in Davis County, there were 9,195 undervotes. There were people who filled out the ballot and didn't color in his bubble. Almost 9,200 of them.
Yeah.
That to me screams, we need a choice.
Yes.
So, you know, I do take some good vibes from that. Mm-hmm. In addition to the fact that even though Kentucky was really leaning red in the last election, local registrations here, there's not but about 3 or 4 points difference. Now, the groups that are growing are the independents and libertarians and the Green parties and all these other third parties where people right. are like, I don't want to be a Democrat or a Republican.
Sure.
And, you know, I think my bipartisan appeal should appeal to those. And when you add those third parties into the Democratic registration in this county, now I haven't looked at it from McLean and Hancock County, to be real honest about it. But when you look at how the undervotes figure in, mm-hmm. and how most people who register third party do go vote in the general election.
Yes.
Yeah. So when you add those numbers up, yeah, it's a possibility.
Okay. You have done quite a bit of work, like you said, nonprofit work. Mm-hmm. So I assume you have fairly good name recognition. You're not having to tell people who you are very much. Is that correct?
Well, it kind of depends on what circles you're operating in. Hmm. Quite a few people, you know, Owensboro is a very, very giving community with probably more nonprofits per capita than a lot of other places. So in some of the nonprofits, some of the education circles, yes. You know, some of the business community, the partners that I have worked with through the foundation and through Empowerment Academy and some of the other, you know, groups that I've worked with, there's some name recognition there. One of the things I was disappointed about, my dad had really good name recognition here because he's a former public school superintendent.
Right.
And I really wanted that Chandler name on the ballot because there would be people who would recognize that I was his daughter and that strong connection with public education. Unfortunately, with Quisenberry is my last name, it was one letter too long to put on the ballot.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And that is a shame.
I
absolutely agree. Do you have many people who are sort of hidden voters or shadow voters who come up to you and go, I can't talk about this publicly, but I'm going to vote for you?
Oh, it's funny. I absolutely love it when a Republican comes up to me and says, you have my vote, but don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been in the nonprofit world. I can keep secrets. So, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, just knowing that there are many people out there who hopefully will evaluate each race candidate to candidate mm-hmm. and not pull that red lever. And that's one of the things that when we were looking for candidates to run, we tried to find candidates in each one of these offices that would pull in Republican votes. Because, you know, if the county judge candidate pulls in Republican votes, then that forces people to look at my race. If I pull in Republican votes, and it forces candidates to look at Laurie Campbell's race or Rondolin's race or Donna's race or Sagan Storm, who's running for county commission here. Mm-hmm. So each one of us, I think, has that pull where we can pull in Republican donors and third party Republican voters and third party voters for each other. And yeah. I think the more that each one of us pull in, the better off we're all going to be.
Yep. Yep. So you mentioned the divisiveness, which of course is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you're running against an incumbent Republican. Are you talking much about him or his record, or is there anything there to talk about?
Oh, yeah, there is a lot to talk about. Just a few weeks ago, one of our county commissioners pointed out that we had an elected official that had entered into a land option with a data center. And it turns out it was my opponent.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. And data centers here are a hot button.
Man,
topic.
I'd be hanging that around his neck every time I talked.
You know, it's interesting. There are people in the community that are doing that. You know, I want to keep my campaign positive, but I also want to make sure that the voters are educated. And, you know, there again, I just have questions. He had this land lease option with a data company. We don't know what, you know, what the per acre price is for it. Mm-hmm. But he went into the legislative session, and this legislature this year did nothing to protect Kentuckians.
Yes.
From some Correct. Of the things that could go on with data centers. And to me, an elected public official, public safety should be their number one concern.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a lot of questions about
so,
that.
I have a couple of final questions. One is, I attended a class some time ago on communication for candidates, and they introduced the four square matrix about communication. I don't know if you've heard about this.
I haven't. Please educate me.
Well, it was I thought it was very effective. Basically, you take a piece of paper, you divide it into four squares. And in one square, you put the three things you would say about yourself.
Okay.
In another square, you put the three things you would say about your opponent. In the third square, you put the three things you think your opponent is going to say about themselves.
Okay.
And in the fourth square, you put the three things you think your opponent is going to say about you.
Okay.
And then that's all you talk about is those six bullets and answers to their six bullets.
Right? Okay.
So you figure out what are they going to say about themselves, and you have an answer for that.
Mm-hmm.
You figure out what they're going to say about you, and you have an answer for that. So without going into Mr. Boswell, what would be three things you would say about yourself? If I just, you know, you're doing a campaign talk, what are three things that people should know about Vicki Quisenberry?
Oh, goodness. I was just putting a speech together right before I got on with you here. I think they need to know how important family is. Mm-hmm. I'm a mom, I'm a grandma, I'm a wife, I'm a daughter, I'm an aunt, you know, all of those things. Family is important.
Okay.
Taking care of your community is very important. And I have a track record that proves that as well.
Okay.
I've never been afraid to jump into anything. My kids wanted to play rec soccer, and I signed up to be an assistant coach. And you know what? The other person signed up to be an assistant coach, and neither one of us knew anything.
Yep.
And so I jumped right in. My kids were swimmers, and they needed somebody to run the computer system. That ended up being, you know, all through my kids' middle school and high school. I even helped with college conference meets because that was a skill that I had, you know, begged and pleaded for everybody who knew anything about it to teach me.
Yeah.
So, you know, the foundation, I never did really have any nonprofit experience. And I jumped in because it was important to help alleviate some of the financial strains on the district because the legislature wasn't funding public education like it should be.
Right.
So, you know, I think that I'm not afraid to try something new.
Okay.
So yeah, there you go. The three things.
Okay. And I may be putting you on the spot here. Are there three things you would say about Mr. Boswell?
Oh goodness. I'm gonna have
if you don't have a good, if you're not ready to do that, we can.
Well, the data center thing, definitely.
Right.
It concerns me, and I need to go back and verify this, but I do believe he's been supportive of some of the legislation that attacks basic human rights for certain segments of our population. That's very concerning. Let's see. I've heard lots and lots of stories. Right now, I'm not ready to repeat them all, including nicknames and, you know, that kind of thing.
I will just suggest that you take the outline I gave you and think about, you know, three bullets. I think it's very helpful. And it's really good if it keeps you on track from the standpoint of always having a message, always having the same message.
Right.
All right. So before we wrap up, is there anything you wanted to talk about that I did not ask you about?
I think more than anything, and that's not anything we can do about what we have going on here, is the lack of choice in some of the other larger areas in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. It's my understanding Warren County doesn't have choices for their people. What other communities don't have choices? I think that's a lot of what divides us, mm-hmm. is not being able to have good quality communications with people of different backgrounds and different perspectives and that kind of thing.
And not having to work together.
Right. I think Kentucky is suffering because it's not 49-51 like it should be, 50-50 like it should be. You know, and I know you and I've talked about this before. We've got four women running to represent Davis County.
Right.
And another question I have, half the population is female. Why aren't half of our legislators female? Is it because of the divisiveness and the hatred and the, you know, I know our local Republican Party put out a video. I saw it last week. I don't know how long it's been out. Basically telling you everybody on Democratic ticket's a communist.
Oh, yeah. That's really? The talking. I know.
Yeah. But you're supporting the guy in the White House who's purchasing private businesses with public money. Communistic.
Okay. So let's wrap up with the question that I always ask candidates when I interview them. It's always the last question.
Should have done some research.
No, it's all right. Okay. So you're out knocking on doors and you come to my door and you knock on the door and I actually open the door and I ask you, okay, Vicki Quisenberry, why should I vote for you? What's your response?
I think we need people who have a proven track record of working together, of solving problems. You know, that's the whole goal of nonprofits. You see a problem, you get the right people in the room, you discuss options, and you solve the problem. That's what our legislators need to be doing.
Okay. Well, you have my vote.
You know what? Some people would say that, you know, yeah, that would work. But yeah, you don't live here. So I appreciate that, though.
Vicki Quisenberry, running for Kentucky Senate, one of the women running in Davis County that she helped recruit. And then she got told that she needed to run, too. Vicki, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, Bruce, thank you for inviting me. I'm glad I got to spend some time with you.